This week, I'm not even on my notes, but this week I woke up, my shoulder, I've got bad shoulders. I've got arthritis in my shoulders. The doctor did x-rays a while back, about a year ago. I had to get cortisone shots. He looked at my shoulders, said, son, you've got shoulders of a man twice your age. They're eat up with arthritis. I woke up this week, I couldn't even move my shoulder. I had to walk around and hold my arm like this. The pain was unbearable. Tears were coming in my eyes. It was so bad. I sit at the desk all day flipping papers, going through stuff, climbing ladders at times. My shoulder was killing me. I woke up the other morning, I said, I'm done with pain. I came up here and I walked in the church and I began walking. I said, God, I thank you for healing. And I didn't say, oh God, thank you. I know I'm supposed to pray, thank you for healing. Oh God, you know, that's what we do, God. No, I said, God, thank you for healing. I said, God, you're merciful. You heal. And I didn't think it. I truly expected healing. I truly expected, God, here's what's going to happen. And I told God this, Sister Pugh. I said, hey God, when I walk out of here, my shoulder's not going to hurt anymore, so I'm not going to think about it today. Guess what happened? I walked out and my shoulder wasn't hurting, and I didn't realize until I drove up to work. I sat down and started working. I realized, oh my God, my shoulder's not hurting. It hasn't hurt one time since. Throughout the day, I did feel a little twinge and a little pain. I'm like, oh, wait up, God. That's not supposed to happen. That's not supposed to happen. You healed me. He said, yes, I did heal you. But guess what? I'm reminding you of your healing. And the pain was gone. I felt a little twinge. And I said, wait, what is that? He said, just me reminding you, I healed you. Sometimes whenever God does things like that, we might feel a little pain and we might get a little discouragement. We say, God, what's up? He said, just a reminder. Just a quick reminder of who I am in your life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for who you are in my life. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Whoo! I better get on to my message. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5. This, we're not formal. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. To all our guests and visitors here today, if you are any, we thank you for coming. You can see this scripture and you say, ah, okay. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Concerning you, not someone else, not the person down the street, concerning you in everything, not some things. Not the great job you just got. Not the blessing of an extra check you got in the mail you weren't expecting. Not just because someone paid for your meal you weren't expecting. Not because of all the good things. My car hasn't broke down. Not because of that. Not because the doctor gave me a clean bill of health. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning each and every one of you. Amen. You can be seated if you want to. If I were to title this message, I would give it one of two titles, either unthankfulness to gratitude, or I kind of like this one better, the attitude of gratitude. I heard someone say that a while back in a message, and this came to me. This message came to me. He was talking about being thankful, and he said, sometimes you got to have that attitude of gratitude. You can't just say, oh, Lord, thank you. Oh, I'm supposed to thank you because I'm a Christian. Or how Brother Pugh does it, Christian. He says, you've got to have the attitude of gratitude. And I took that and I ran with it. I started going with notes and the Lord gave me something. And the word gratitude means quality of being thankful. It means being thankful over something or many things or whatever. But it's the quality of being thankful. But the word entitlement means the fact of having the right to something, or the amount of which a person has a right to something. That's what entitlement means. The scripture that we read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, it is an actual mandate from God of thanksgiving. This scripture isn't asking us to give thanks. This scripture isn't suggesting us to give thanks. It isn't asking us to quantify the number of times or size of our thanksgiving, or elaborate on the reasons of why we are to give thanks to the Almighty God. It is not telling you, oh, you can only need to give thanks whenever you feel like it, or oh, you've been blessed here and there, so go ahead and give thanks. No, that is not what it's doing. It is a mandate from God, in everything give thanks, amen, because this is the will of God through Christ Jesus concerning each and every one of you. In everything give thanks. Right now, where you're sitting, I want everyone in here to raise your hands and begin to thank God for what He has done for you. And I don't mean just a little small thank you, Jesus, you've been good. I mean from the bottom of your heart, give God thanks. I mean from the depths of your soul, from the innermost parts of your guts, from the deepest part of you, give thanks. And if you can think of whatever it is, thank Him for that too. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know I'm supposed to be teaching a lesson. I feel like I am. I just teach a little different. Hallelujah. Ungrateful. The word ungrateful to me is the same as entitled. Have you ever known someone that when you have gotten them a gift, or you've given them something or done something nice for them, that they really weren't that thankful? They really weren't truly grateful for what you've done for them. I know each of us probably have children or grandchildren. Have you ever given a gift to a kid? To a child, and they open it up, or give it, hey, look what I got you. And they're like, oh, awesome. They open up like, okay, thank you. Give me the box. There's times that happens and your heart may break, you know, and like, wait a minute. I found this and I thought this was good for you. And I really said, oh, I'm going to get this for him or her. And I thought this was going to be just, man, they're going to be saying, oh, thank you, mom, dad, or nana, or pops. Thank you so much, you know. And grandkids, usually they'll play with the box, and they'll be more thankful for the box. But have you ever given anyone something at times, and you're like, well, that ungrateful thing. I've been there. I've seen it. I've been the person, to be honest with you. I remember as a child growing up, going to my grandmother's house for Christmas, Mama June. And, man, we get awesome gifts. The gifts we would get were, of course, back then, we didn't have the little video games. We had guns. We got cap guns and cap pistols and BB guns and stuff. And she would give us these BB guns or cap guns, even rifle cap guns. And then she made the mistake of giving us big gifts of bottle rockets. Oh, you don't give kids guns and bottle rockets. We're going to shoot our own eye out or her cousin's eyes out. And she would give us this, and boy, we would rip into it because we knew it was doing Skeeter. We about to go hurt somebody. We about to shoot bottle rockets at each other. And, you know, and we get into it, yes. But then I got older. And as I got older, my cousins, the ankle-biting brats, took my gifts. I opened the gifts, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm a young teenager, but I'm still getting bottle rockets. And I opened the gift, and it's socks and underwear, you know, and I'm like, thanks, Mama. I love you. Hey, kids, give me your bottle rockets. You know, and I get home and mom's like, well, what'd you get? I said, socks and Fruit of the Looms. And I was like, what's the deal with that? She's like, what'd you say? I said, I got socks and underwear. Mom grabbed me by the ear, lifted me up, and I'm on my tiptoes. She brings me to the back of the room and kicks me in the rear end. She said, you better learn to be grateful. Of course, my grandmother probably had 10 grandkids she was buying for on a fixed income. But at the time, I didn't understand gratitude. I didn't have the attitude of gratitude until I got older and I started realizing what my grandmother was doing. She loved me. She still wanted to get something for me. So here's what I did. I was sneaky. I said, Grandma, Mama, don't get me underwear. Don't get me socks. Don't get me anything except for that coconut pie. Make me that coconut pie, and that's all I want for Christmas. And that's a fact. I would tell Selena, tell you, Mama, just make me that coconut pie. Mama passed away, and she passed on down that recipe to my sister. And so I tell my sister, she's like, Jane, what are we going to do for gifts for this Christmas? Oh, we'll draw names for the kids, but you're getting me that coconut pie. And she'll laugh. She said, okay, I'll bring you the coconut pie. My grandmother made the best coconut pie and best coconut cake in the history of the world. And this past week, I was at men's conference, and Doug knows where I'm going. And we're sitting there in Brother Creel's trailer, and I look down, and I see a coconut cake, and I pick it up. And it was small. That's a sin to make coconut cake pieces that small. And I ate it, and it brought me back. I started thinking of my grandmother. I'll cry right now if y'all just bear with me. And her amazing coconut cakes. And I ate another. And I ate another. I told Doug, I said, I'm bringing his home with me, and I forgot it. I'm sorry. I forgot it. I got to talk, and I walked out. That was the best coconut cake I've ever eaten since my grandma passed. But I was unthankful as a child. I didn't have the attitude of gratitude until I learned my lesson. And I realized that she was doing it because she loved me. There was a young man I met a number of years ago in passing, and we become not friends but acquaintances, and he come on a job that I was on. I was supervising on a job and inspecting lead, and we were in a big fab shop, and he was a welder, and this young man, he was struggling with his family, and they were having issues with their family, and he come to me one day, and he said, Mr. Chang, he said, I got a question for you. I said, yeah, buddy, what do you have? He said, we're struggling, and they probably put their situation, their own selves in the situation that they were in. And he said, we're struggling, you know, and we're about to get kicked out of our house. He said, and I was wondering if I could borrow some money. He said, I'm embarrassed to do this to help pay the rent. And I'm not saying this because I've done something good for anyone. I said, all right. I said, well, how much is it? He told me. I said, let me talk to my wife. I went and sat and talked to Selena, and she said, well, do you feel like this is the right thing to do? I said, well, you know, the Bible says someone comes and asks for help, you know, you try to help them. I ain't saying break your bank for them, but, you know, if you have the means to help them, so you're going to help them. So I helped the guy out, and he, oh, thank you, Mr. Chain, you know, and he walked off, and I appreciate it. And 2 days later, he quit the job, and he was gone. I never seen him again. And I'm like, what the deal? You know, this dude left like that, you know, and I told him, I said, look, don't worry about paying me back on your next check or even the check after that. Take your time. Pay me back whenever you can. He up and leaves. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I gave something from my heart to this person, and they thanked me by that. That's all the thankfulness that I got out of it, you know. And I'm like, this is wrong. And I kind of got upset. And then the Lord told me, he said, well, why did you get that? Did you give that because you felt like you were entitled for something back? Did you give that because you truly had an attitude of gratitude of things that happened in your life and you wanted to give that from the bottom of your heart? Or do you truly feel entitled that you're owed something back? And I said, God, thank you. And I let it go. I just let it pass and let it go on by. The Bible says in Luke 21, verse 1 through 4, it says, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. To many times we as Christians, we feel like that, hey, I gave this, I deserve something back. Or, hey, I went up and I did something at the church, how come my name wasn't called out and said, thank you, brother so-and-so? Or, hey, how come I wasn't given this Christian award? Or how come I wasn't called out and given a pat on the back? Too many times we may walk up in front of the offering like the rich men, and then they walked up in there, I just looking at it in my eyes and in my mind in the story, and they say, look, this is what I'm giving, and they drop it in and they walk off, you know, and they grab a hold of their shirts, and then yet this poor little lady, she walks in and she just does like this. She goes over. I imagine that she has her hand cuffed, and she just kind of puts it like that, maybe covers it up with other people's stuff, and she just walks on and she says, thank you, Jesus. She says, thank you, God, for your blessings. I gave you everything that I have. I gave you all that I am, Lord, and I have nothing left to show, God. I'm a poor woman, God, but thank you for giving me what I just gave back to you. Thank you, Jesus, for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy, God, because you gave me another day, and so I just gave back what you gave me. Yet the others, I feel like that they had the entitlement attitude. They walked up in there grabbing themselves and saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. My answer to that may be for those who come up and say, well, then how come I gave and I did this, but no one said thank you to me? No one came to me and said, hey, great job. My answer to that is maybe God wanted to see your attitude and how you handled not getting gratitude. Maybe God wanted to see how you handled someone not lifting you up and patting you on the back and saying, hey, good job. Hey, great going for bringing that amount of money in, or great going for building that door panel. Maybe God wanted to check your attitude and say, let me see how gracious you really are by coming up here and doing what you did and saying, God, I humble myself to be able to have the opportunity and the blessings to work on this church for you. Maybe God is just checking your attitude and testing us to see who we really are. I know another gentleman that he went to a church and he left the first church that he was at because he felt like he wasn't getting used enough. So he went on and moved and went to another church and he said, I'm going to be used over here. And he had a few little skills and things that God had blessed him with. And so he went to this other church and he stayed there for 6 or 7 months. And he would tell the pastor, hey, I can do this, I can do that. The pastor said, okay, great, great. You come in here and be faithful and we'll start using you. And after 6 to 8 months, he didn't like it. So he left and went to another church and so on and so forth. And he kept doing this over and over again. And over the period of about 5 years, 4 to 5 years, he'd done switch churches with his wife and kids at least 6 times because he didn't have that gratitude, the attitude of gratitude and saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you have given me. Thank you, Jesus, for the blessings that you have given me. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to let my life show other people who I am with you. And then when your time comes, you will lift me up and put me where you want me to be. His attitude of gratitude was completely gone, and he never really had it. But he expects to be used by God. How can you be used by God when you're not thankful for what God has given you? How can you be used by God when you aren't even thankful for what God has given you? My Jesus. The Bible in 2 Timothy verse 3, 1 through 5, chapter 3, 1 through 5 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Boy, that's a lot of stuff crammed in those verses. That's a lot of bad things crammed in those verses. But look at where the word unthankful is at right in there. Located right about the middle of all of that, it is located right next to the word unholy. Go back to verse 2 on that. Right next to the word unholy, I do not think this was an accident that God placed these words next to each other. You see, the Bible in John says the Word was with God and the Word was God. So God knows His Word and He knows how to perfectly form His words and to place His words. So I truly believe that God put unthankful next to unholy for a reason. Let it sink in. It isn't just happenstance that God did this. We move to Luke chapter 6, verse 35. The last part of that verse, it says, "For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil." Once again, in these scriptures, we see that unthankfulness and evil are lumped together. That's not a mistake. Unthankfulness and unholy, unthankfulness and evil lumped together in these scriptures. God doesn't make mistakes, people. I believe He's doing that to let us know, if you are unthankful, you won't have room in my life, in my kingdom. If you are unthankful, you're not going to have room with anything that I have to do with you. You've got to have an attitude of gratitude. That's important to God. Thankfulness, gratitude, or thankfulness is of the utmost importance to God. Ephesians 5 and 20. "Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Psalms 95, 1 and 2 says, "Oh, come let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." Psalms 105 and 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord God and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people." Psalms 107 and 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." Psalms 118 and 29, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." 1 Chronicles 16, 34, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." Philippians 4 and 6 through 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." When you're thankful, truly thankful in your prayers, peace will be in your life. When you're truly thankful from the bottom of your heart, that's when God is going to come into your life. No matter what the problem is, oh, somebody better hear me this morning. No matter what you're going through, peace that passes all understanding is going to come over your life when you're truly thankful. Hallelujah. God is a good God. God is a merciful God. God is an all-knowing God. He is a healing God. He is a delivering God. He is all that and more. And that's what you find when you have thankfulness in your heart. Colossians 3 and 15, it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." As I previously stated in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When you are thankful, you open up yourself to more than just feeling good. When you're thankful, you open yourself up to miracles. When you're thankful, you open yourself up to the peace of God. When you're thankful, you open yourself up to blessings. When you're truly thankful for the breath that you take, when you're truly thankful for each day that you wake up with health in your body, when you're truly thankful for a roof over your head and clothes on your back, when you're truly thankful for a healthy family and food on your table, when you're truly thankful for a job, or better yet, for retirement that still pays and provides for your family, when you're truly thankful for a church that you can go to that teaches and preaches truth, such as baptism in Jesus' name, evidence of infilling of the Holy Ghost by evidence of speaking in tongues. When you're truly thankful, that's when peace, that's when healing, that's when God begins to move in your life, when you're truly thankful. Hallelujah. When you truly have the attitude of gratitude, you open yourselves up to more miracles than you can ever dreamed of or imagined. It wasn't until I become truly thankful that I began to see healing and miracles in my life. It wasn't until I was truly thankful and I knew what Thanksgiving really was and not just words that God began to work in ways in my life that I never dreamed of. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Chain, what I've gone through. You don't understand what I go through. Let me ask you, do you understand what Sister Cam Creel has gone through? Do you understand what any of us have gone through? Do you understand what we all go through? Things going right or things going wrong is not an indicator of whether you are in the will of God. If that was the case, then Paul spent the majority of his ministry out of the will of God. I want you to hear what I just said. If things are going right or whether things are going wrong, that is not an indicator of whether or not you are in the will of God. But whether they're going right or whether they're going wrong, just like Brother Thompson said this morning, it is up to you to worship and to thank God. Knowing His voice, knowing His word and what it means God is going to allow things into your life. He is going to allow trials into your life. He is going to allow sickness into your life. He is going to allow times of pain in your life. He is going to allow situations in your life that you never imagined. But it's up to you to understand where God has brought you from, to where God has brought you to, and to continue to have the attitude of gratitude. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands unto the Lord right now. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Now get this. Without thanksgiving, and oh, I know this is not some big theological find that we have just found, but without thanksgiving, we cannot even get past the gates of His tabernacle. That's biblical. That's word. The Bible says in Psalms 104, says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. This isn't just a scripture we use to try and pump up church to say, come on, everybody, let's worship because we're in church. This is a mandate from God. Enter is not saying if you want to. Enter, it's a command, into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. How do you ever think you're going to reach the throne room of God without thanksgiving? How do you ever think you're going to reach God to a point of healing if you can't have thanksgiving and gratitude in your life? And I know each and every one of us are to a time in our lives. Most of us have been in here and in this church for many years and been living for God for a long time. But complacency can set in our lives. And through our prayer time, we can get to our closet and we can get down on our knees and we can say, oh God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all you've done. But God, here's the deal. I need you. When that thanksgiving never came from the heart, when that attitude of gratitude was just words passing across your lips and through the pearly whites, it wasn't from the heart. It wasn't from the heart, and until it is every single time, your blessings and your healing won't come. Enter into this gates with thanksgiving. You look at the tabernacle of the Old Testament. You had to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and then into the courts with praise. And then you go into the altar of repentance. And before you get to repent, you have to first have thanksgiving and a thankful heart. And then from there, you go to the laver of water. And then you get into the area of the court where the five posts are at. And from there, you go into where the seven golden candlesticks are at. And then you see the table of showbread. And then you go to the altar of incense. And then you get to the veil where the four posts are at. And from here is where you walk into the Holy of Holies at this point. And before you can get into his presence through the Old Testament tabernacle, you must first enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Before you can know the true presence of God, you've got to have a thankful heart. You've got to have the attitude of gratitude and a thankful heart. Amen. You may say, but Brother Chain, it's hard sometimes. You don't know what the devil's been throwing at me and the world's been pounding upon me. Well, I say ditto. I say ditto, which means I feel you. I know. I've been there. Bought the shirt, burn it because I was mad about it. Ditto. Tell you about me. I was in a job for the past 6 years. Loved my job. Hated the fact that I had to travel. Loved what I did. Loved what I did. Retirement, pension plan, you name it, I had it. 4 weeks of vacation every year on top of a month worth of sick leave. I basically only worked 10 months out of the year if I wanted to. Loved what I did, but God didn't want me at that job. He opened the door for me to go somewhere else, and I turned it down. Nah, not happening. I'm comfortable where I was at. I was comfortable where I wanted to be. And then God said, okay, you're not going to go. Let me give you a little help. Let me nudge you along the way. So God reached in and intervened, and he opened the door that I had to go through. I said, all right, God, I see what you're doing. So I stepped into that door, and the whole time I didn't want to do it, but I come to this altar and I would pray, God, not my will, but your will be done. And God said, truly? Oh, I'm telling you, just as I'm standing here and you hear, and you close your eyes and you hear, close your eyes. Everyone close your eyes and you hear, truly. That's what God said to me. And I mean it just as I was sitting here. And I said, whoa. Tell me what you mean. He said, are you truly thankful? Because if you were, you would give everything to me and you would let me bring you through the door that you're going to go to. Yes, sir, I will. I'll obey you through everything that you want me to do. I said, all right. I sent my resignation letter. Blah, 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 blah. Goodbye. Enter. Send. And I said, I'm effective immediately. Gone. Bye. Love you guys. All my friends I work with. Hey, love you guys. Call me sometimes. People calling me tripping out. What are you doing? God wants me to go somewhere else. I took a job making less pay. Yeah, you talk about nerve-wracking, sit up here every day crying. But soon as I sent that email and I said, enter, the Lord, a load lifted off of me because I said, thank you, God, for what you're doing. And ever since then, I have been blessed financially more than I've ever been blessed. God has opened doors for me that I never thought would be opened because I listened and I was thankful for what he did for me in my life. I took a job making about $10,000 to $15,000 a year less on the salary income. And I didn't know if I could make it, but God has blessed me. He has blessed me. He has blessed me. because I truly understood what a thankful heart was. Every day I wake up before I get out of bed, I say, thank you, Jesus. And if I feel myself saying it just with words, I ask God to forgive me. And then I say it again, God, thank you, God, for all you've done for me. Help me to never be ungrateful. Help me to never have the attitude of entitlement. Help me to never look at things that I have and say, oh, it is what it is. Help me to be thankful, God, for all that you've blessed me with. Because I serve a merciful God. I serve a great God. I serve a God that no matter where you are at in your life, He's put you there for a reason. And if you have a grateful heart and the attitude of gratitude, there is nothing that He'll withhold from you. Hallelujah. I'm trying to help someone in here today better understand about gratitude. As we all stand. And I know most of you are my elder by many, some. By many years, some. And I know you know this, but all I believe God wanted me to tell you today is remember the attitude of gratitude and having a thankful heart. Because I know as well as anybody, too many times we get in our routine of prayer. We go to that prayer, and I even have a prayer lined out on my phone. In my prayer, I go through the Beatitudes, and I ask God to help me to be meek, help me to be kind to others. I go through the Ten Commandments at least twice a week, and God, help me not to do this and not to do that. Help me not to kill, and I'm not talking about, yesterday I thought I wanted to kill somebody, but help me not to kill people with my words. And I go through this, and sometimes you'll get complacent when you're going through these things, but you have to take a step back and say, God, help me to have a thankful heart. God, help me to have the attitude of gratitude in the name of Jesus. Oh, as we bow our heads right now, God, I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity to once again come into your presence. God, I thank you, Lord, for being able to feel your presence. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, for the clothes that I have on my back, the shoes that I have on my feet. I thank you for my church family. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the car that I drive, the roof over my head, food on my table. I thank you for my job. I thank you for my health. I thank you, Jesus. God, and help me to never take any of this for granted. God, help me to never become complacent and have an entitled attitude. God, because I need you in my life. Lord, if I ever get to that point, shake me, God, to the foundation of who I am. Shake me, God, to get back to where I need to be. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, God. Because I need you, Jesus, to lead me in your perfect will. I need you, Jesus, to lead me and to speak into my life. I need your healing virtue in my life. I need your blessings. I need you, Jesus. More than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. God is so good, people. God is so good. My goodness. God is good. God is good. God is good. I've been asking God to open up doors in my life and my wife's life to be able to witness to new people and minister to new people. And last week I had a visitor come. My wife and I went, and I believe it was last week or the week before, my bad. We had a visitor come, a gentleman I met out on the golf course. See, God, golf is God's ministry to him. And I met him out on the golf course, and we played golf together. And invited him to church, and he's from out of town, from Kansas, and here working. He came to church, had never been in a Pentecostal church in his life. Came in his golf shorts and his T-shirt, and I was like, man, after it was over, how'd you like it? He said, man, this place was rocking. It was awesome. Had a great time. This was great. He said, I've never been in a Pentecostal church before. Awesome. His name is Brett. Y'all call out the name of Brett when you pray. I stay in contact with him. We text ever so often. He's been going back home on the weekends, visiting his family. And he told me when we were here, he said, I've never been in a Pentecostal church before. From Kansas City, Missouri. He said, but my wife's grandfather is a UPC preacher. And I said, thank you, Jesus, an open door. Thank you, Jesus. He came in here and got a first-time experience that he now has the opportunity to possibly go back home. And I hope he comes back and, you know, we can give him a Bible study. He can pray through the Holy Ghost. But if it don't happen here, it'll happen somewhere. My wife is sitting at her job, and to be honestly blunt, she hates her job, and I don't blame her. There are some rude people that work with her, and they live like the devil, cuss everything. Every other word comes out of the mouth is cuss words. So we've been praying for God to open another door, and she's tried to witness. She's tried to be a light. She listens to her Christian music, you know, and she don't try to blare it and overpower people and, you know, and, hey, look at me, I'm Christian. She don't do that. That's not Selena. If you didn't know her, you would think maybe she was a snob because she's so shy and quiet. But those that you know her know she'll talk your head off. And so this lady on her job has been noticing her and watching her and talking to her. And she come up to her and she asked her to, hey, would you mind just praying for me in my situation? And actually, where do you go to church? And Selena told her again. And she said, I want to come to church with you. I want to come and be a visitor at your church. So she said, text me and reminded me. And Selena texted her and said, hey, don't forget, I want you to be at church tomorrow. She said, and Chain's going to be teaching in the first Sunday service. And she's like, oh, okay. She texted her back and told her something about her dad was sick, has cancer, and she has to go and sit with her dad because of the people that was there couldn't. But we're going to be praying for her also. It's about the attitude of gratitude and letting God use us. It's time. I'm running behind. We've got 10 minutes. But letting God use us, if we have the right attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, no matter where you're at, no matter who you are, no matter what walk of life you're in, you can still minister, and God can still use you.